Hey everyone, thank you so much for taking time to listen to this week's sermon. It's our hope that this resource will grow you in your faith, hope, and love for Jesus. Please help us get the word out by following us on social media and sharing resources just like this. And if today's message has compelled you to take a next step in faith, please let us know by commenting on this post, sending us a personal message, or contacting us at the church office. Praying and believing that God will change you in a powerful way through his word. Blessings.
Well, I know it's going to be said a lot over the next 48 hours, but that's okay. Let me join in the chorus of voices. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Thank you guys so much for being with us today. It's always special when these holidays fall on Sundays and we can just gather together as God's people. Whether you've been hanging out at First Baptist for a minute or you've been hanging out with us for a long time, we are really thankful that you'd worship with us today. And so thank you so much for being here. It is a special time of year. This is a time of year where there are some expectations that we just cannot help but drink in, right? Like, this is the time of year where Buddy's going to be reconciled with the dad that abandoned him. Yeah, it's happening. And Ralphie, he's going to get that Red Ryder BB gun. And the Grinch, his heart's going to grow three times larger. And Scrooge, somehow in the next 24 hours, he's going to become the most kind, loving human being in the world. Kevin's going to finally get reunited with the parents that left him home alone twice. And Clark, well, that Christmas bonus is going to come just in time for Clark to put the pool in, right? Like, this is the messages that we are seeping into. And it's not just this time of year, but really it's our whole lives, is it not? That the reason why these holiday movies mean so much to us is because they are pulling on some deep-rooted hope. Is that this is the year that it's all going to come together. And tomorrow morning, magic's going to happen, right? It's all going to come together. There's going to be reconciliation. There's going to be restoration. There's going to be forgiveness. There's going to be belonging. And the reason why it matters so much is because it invades spaces in us that is so hopeful. It's this hope that all the frustration I feel with what is happening in and outside of my life and all the expectations are somehow going to be resolved in this special day. And so characters like Buddy and Kevin and Clark, they mean something to us because they provide for us magical promises. But here's the problem. You and I both know how empty those promises are, right? That for most of us, we're going to wake up on December 26th, and we're still going to feel frustrated, we're still going to feel empty, and we're still going to feel really disappointed. And what we're going to come to the conclusion is this: our hope has once again failed us. Now, listen, this is not a rip on Christmas. Listen, I am pro-Christmas, right? But it doesn't matter what it is, whether it is a new season, a new job, a new relationship, a new credit card, all of these things in our lives are going to overpromise and they're going to underdeliver. But not this year. No. This year is going to be different, right? Now, I don't know anybody that really is talking like that unless you live in a Hallmark movie, right? I don't know if I have said out loud this season that this is the year it's all going to work out. I haven't said that out loud, but I hope it does. And chances are, you hope it does too. That we hope that it finally works itself out. And that hope, we hope that our strained relationships and our broken expectations, we hope they finally resolve. And when they don't, it leaves us with some profound, deep, deep questions like this. Am I wanted? Can I be forgiven? Can I really be set free from all the brokenness that is in and around me? And so what we long for today is hope. And we're not going to find that hope in a movie, but we're going to find it in a manger. And in Luke chapter 2, it says this: "And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." And so today, the offer on the table for me and the offer on the table for you is peace. Because what Luke is trying to tell us is this, is that peace has arrived and he has a name. Now, Paul would say it like this in his letter to the church in Ephesus. Paul says in Ephesians 2, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near." And I love that line from verse 17. Peace for those of us that feel near to God, and there's peace today for those of us that feel far off from God. And I think that about covers all of us in the room, does it not? And here's the thing about peace. Peace is all about perspective. Peace is all about perspective. Now, if you live long enough, here's what you're going to find. There is a massive gap between your expectations and reality, right? Anybody get a little taste of that this week driving down Grand Central in Parkersburg, right? Like I don't know if any of y'all in the last 3 days tried to go shopping and you had an expectation that you're getting in and out of Walmart. Good luck. There is a gap between expectations and reality. And one of the greatest lies in life is this. When all of my horizontal realities match my expectations, I'm going to have peace. And that's simply not true. Specifically, there are four realities that we run to that ultimately ruin us. And the first is this. I just need to be better. So the answer to the frustrations in my life is I just need to work harder. Anybody try the work harder plan recently? If you don't know how it works, it's really simple. Just do what you're doing right now and be better at it, right? Now here's why that doesn't work, is there is nobody in your life who has lied to you, let you down, or disappointed you more than you. And a year ago, some of y'all said, "Hey, 2023 is going to be different." And then 6 months in, you got to summer, and you go, "Oh boy, we're halfway through this year. I better make up for it so by Christmas, I'm keeping those promises." How's that working, boss? Probably not. Because it doesn't matter who's drinking out of your coffee cup tomorrow, a week from now, a month from now, a year from now, a decade from now. They're going to disappoint you. And there is not enough self-help in this world to give us peace. So if I can't fix me, then what I probably need is just for the people in my life to be better, right? So we've Jerry Maguire'd ourselves into this mess, right? We think that the answer to my problems is surely a different version of me. Now, here's why that doesn't work. Men make terrible gods. And all the women said, "Amen." But women also make terrible gods. Whoa. I was not going to even throw that out there. That is brave. And maybe what's more heartbreaking is that our kids make terrible gods. You want to know how to crush somebody that you love? Put the responsibility of fixing you on them. Because here's what you're going to get at the end. Control, but no peace. So then maybe what I need is some better stuff. Now listen, 'tis the season, y'all, where my genes are telling me, stop eating the cookies, but my sweatpants are like, go for it, bro. Go for it. Like, it's that time of year. And it works, doesn't it? Like, on a bad day, a pint of ice cream or a tray of grandma's cookies, like, they do wonders for the soul, but then what? And, like, the same thing goes for the new car, the new phone, the new clothes, the new whatever is sitting underneath your tree right now. What happens when the new fades? Well, what happens is we are forced with the reality that all these things that we are desperately trying to collect are just heading to the future junkyard and the future garage sale. And the thing you're paying 21% interest on right now with your credit card in a couple years, somebody's going to get you to sell that to you for 10 bucks at your yard sale. And what you come to find out is this, is that Santa cannot bring enough presents to bring you peace. So then maybe what I need is some better faith. Now, this is where we got to be real careful when we talk about faith. Because when we turn faith into something that works for us, but not in us, well, that's called religion. It's a system. And here's why religion doesn't work. Religion is a 2.0 version of you trying to better yourself. And if you're not careful, you can play this lame game where you rack up church attendance and charity and volunteer hours to somehow make yourself feel better. Because ultimately what we're trying to do with religion is we're trying to somehow get God into our debt. Because when the bad days come, and they're going to come, we can look up at God and go, hey, you owe me. All these things I do for you, all the time I've committed, you owe me. And what you're going to find is that there are no scales to tip in our favor. And the empty box of religion does not bring us peace. Because peace is all about perspective, right? And so what happens is we struggle because we expect all of these realities in our life to somehow give us peace. And when they don't give us peace, when they lie to us like they do every year, we feel the same way we feel when we pack up the Christmas decorations. And it's January, and you look at a house that doesn't have any lights on it, and you go, huh, that was it? That was it. And that's the thing that we feel. And the reason why is because there is hostility in the horizontal realities of our life. And there is no holiday movie that's going to fix that. And for each of us, here's the thing. Each of those things, trying to fix ourselves, trying to get other people to fix us, trying to get enough stuff to numb it, trying to find religion to somehow work God into our favor. Here's the thing about all of those realities, is every single one of those realities is one phone call away from devastating you. And you know this, right? Because like for some of us in this room, we know we don't even need that phone call to realize that some of these spaces in my life, they're devastating already. And despite this truth, these realities, they're actually not our issue. Believe it or not, these horizontal realities, these aren't the biggest issue. Our primary issue today is not horizontal. Our primary issue is vertical. That's our issue. And so what we need, what I need, what you need, what the people in our life need, what we desperately need this season is we need vertical reconciliation. What we need is restoration with the God of this universe that ultimately reorients our perspective. And here's the beauty of the gospel, and here's the power of Christmas, is that Jesus came for us. Jesus came for you. I love the way that Eugene Peterson puts it. He's the man who helped translate the Message Bible. He says this, that the Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. Not just to become a precious baby boy in a nativity, but to ultimately become a sacrifice for us. But when we go back to Ephesians, what does Paul say? He says, you were far off. Now, this is important to understand that we are far off from God, because understanding our need for vertical reconciliation is understanding first and foremost that you and I are far. And every attempt that you and I do to control our reality and play God has only pushed us further. So the reason why we've got this problem with our vertical reconciliation is that there is this dividing wall of hostility that Paul talks about between us and God. Now that dividing wall of hostility, the book calls that sin. Now, there's lots of different ways we can define sin, but one of the best ways we can define it is when you and I think that we're better gods than God. Now, again, I've never heard anybody say this, because when people say that they're actually God, we do things with people like that, okay? But no one's ever actually said, I think I'm God. But I know a lot of people that their life looks like they think they're God. And I don't know about you, but I've got a lot of things I've got myself caught up into because I tried to play God. And so what happens is, the more I try to control my reality, the more I try to control these horizontal spaces, the more I try to play God, what I discover is I have less peace, and I actually push myself further away from the people that I care about. I push myself further away from where I want to be, and ultimately, I push myself further away from God. This is what Paul's talking about when he talks about the hostility, the wall of hostility that is between us and God. And here's the thing. You didn't need to show up today for me to say that out loud for you to know that. You didn't need me to say that because you know that. Listen, you're a hot mess right now. That's okay. Don't feel like you're getting judged. We're all hot messes in this room. Some of us are just really good at covering up more than others. But it's been a year, and you haven't figured it out yet. And listen, some of y'all, your family issues have issues. And there's not enough money in this room to make any of us feel peace from any of that. That's the reality, and we have to be honest about that, because before we can be real with what's actually happening, nothing's ever going to change. There's a saying that I heard over the years, and it just has always stuck with me, that until the pain of staying the same is greater than the pain of change, nothing's ever going to happen. So the best thing we could do for Christmas is not dress it up and act like it's just another holiday, but to get real with the problems that we're having with peace. The reality is this, is there is a lot of things that have happened to me that wasn't my fault. I didn't ask for it. There's a lot of things that have happened to me that are my fault. I don't have to own all of it, but I got to own my part. Is that you and I, we are no different. That despite the pain that has happened to us, there is a lot of pain that has happened because of us, and we got to own that today. Because that is where the hostility comes from. And so the question then becomes this. So what is God's response to all this? Because we know what our response is to hostility. We know where we react, okay, when it comes to the way we deal with ourselves, to the way that we deal with other people, the way that we use therapy to just rack up the debt and to try to numb the pain. We know how we deal with things, and we know how that works out. But ultimately, what really matters is, what is God's reaction to us? What is God's reaction to the hostility? What does he think about all these things? And so Paul goes back to Ephesians, and here's God's reaction. Here's God's response to our brokenness, and it's this: but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ, for he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and he preached peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. So what is God's response to our rebellion? What is God's response to our hostility? His response is this: he came near to us. He came for you. He came for me. That is God, his response. And Jesus shows up not to give us peace, he shows up to be our peace. Big difference there. I'm not interested in anybody right now showing up in my life and giving me peace, because I've tried it and it doesn't work, but I'm definitely interested in potentially somebody being my peace. And so that's why the peace that we're talking about today, it's got to go beyond Bethlehem. I need you to hear this, because this is what we do for Christmas. We package up this nice Christmas message that makes us feel good, but it doesn't actually change us. Because the peace that we're talking about has got to go beyond Bethlehem. Because listen, I love me some sweet baby Jesus. But I got to be real with you. Jesus doesn't do much for me. Baby Jesus does not do much for me. Because baby Jesus hasn't lived my life. Baby Jesus hasn't felt my pain. Baby Jesus hasn't carried my sin. Yet. But he doesn't stay a baby long, does he? And in the next 30 years of his life, Jesus is going to experience it all. All of it. Over the next 30 years, he's going to feel joy, the deepest joy, the kind of makes you laugh until you cry. And he's going to experience sorrow, the kind of hurt that feels like it's never going to go away. Over the next 30 years, this Jesus is going to grow up and he is going to laugh. And he is going to lose people in his life. And over the next 30 years, this Jesus is going to love hard. And the people that he loved the most is going to abandon him in his greatest time of need. And over the next 30 years, this Jesus is going to know what it means to sacrifice something. And he's going to feel the pain of loss. And he's going to feel the pain of the sin that we committed. And he is going to feel the pain of death. And this baby Jesus, who's going to grow up and become a man, is going to die on a cross. And 3 days later, he's going to kick the end out of a tomb, and he is going to crush the wall of hostility, and he is going to reconcile me back to God. Now listen, baby Jesus doesn't do a whole lot for me, but this man Jesus, he can change my life. And he can change your life. And that's the point. That's why he came. Not to stay in the manger, but to carry the cross. He came so that in your worst moments, he doesn't just look at you and say, it's going to be okay, but he sits with you and he weeps. Knowing that he makes all things work for good and he's at the other end of whatever you're going through, but he loves you enough to sit with you and say, that's okay. That this Jesus understands how hard it is, mom, to fight for your kids. And how hard it is, dad, to try to be a provider. And whether you've got kids that are 10, 12, 25, 35, 40, they're always going to be your kids. And he understands the struggle of loving somebody and being patient with them. He understands all of it. All of it. There is nothing that you are carrying in here today that King Jesus does not understand. And the difference between him and the difference between us is that he lived a life we couldn't live. And when he made the promise that he would die and rise again, he did it. You know what our greatest challenge is today? Church. Our greatest challenge is not our discipline, it is not our devotion, and it is not our focus. Our greatest challenge is actually believing the gospel to be real. That could it be that he could change my life like that? Church, if his blood, the blood that Paul talks about, if his blood is sufficient for your salvation, then his blood is sufficient to give you peace in every single situation that you've ever been through. If he could defeat death, he could defeat anything. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. If he can defeat death, he can defeat anything in my life, even if that thing in my life is death. Because he lived the life that you've lived. And that Jesus can change my life. He does not bring me peace. He is peace. Because peace is about perspective. And here's what I know. When you and I shift our focus to Jesus, Not to what's happening in here with you, because we know there's a lot going on. But listen, there's a lot going on with all of us. Maybe if we talked about it a little bit more openly, we'd be better. I know there's a lot going on in here. And right now, holiday time, listen, it's the most wonderful time of the year. It only sounds good on a Christmas card, but in reality, that is not true. We got some trees this morning that are pretty full with gifts, and we got some trees that aren't. All of those things, they can rise and fall in a minute. But not Jesus. He's always the same. He's never left you, and he never will. So what we really need to do is we need to shift our perspective, not on the realities in front of us, but on who Jesus is. Because no matter what happens today, my reality is rooted in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's all I got. That's all you got. You're going to have to do something with Jesus. Either he showed up as a child, grew into a man, claimed to be God, died and walked out of that tomb, or he didn't. And if he did, well, that changes everything. And you and I, we got to make a choice on what we're going to do with this Jesus. Because what's on the table today for me and what's on the table today for you is peace. Peace for those in the room that feel far, and peace for those in the room that feel near. So, am I wanted? Can I be forgiven? Can I be set free from the brokenness in and around me? The good news of great joy for all people is this: yes. Because peace has arrived. And he has a name, and that name is Jesus. So here's what I'd like to invite you to do today. I would like to invite you, for maybe the first time in your life, to accept the person of Jesus. Now listen, this is typically the time where we would, you know, we would dim the lights, and I do have some piano playing, and I'd have you bow your heads, and we would kind of go through this thing, and I don't know if it's just the church kid in me, but I don't want to manipulate the moment. I just want to look at you, because this is important. I don't know if it's the church kid in me, but I don't want to have another Christmas service and walk out of the room and just be the same person I was when I came in, because I don't need that, and I don't think you need that this morning. I got a lot of people in my life who would tell me they have a relationship with God because they prayed a prayer. Here's the problem. Didn't say for God so loved the world that he sent a prayer. And I know a lot of people that think they're okay with God because they've got some pretty good church attendance. But it didn't say for God so loved the world that he sent church attendance. It didn't say that he sent small groups. It didn't say that he sent offering plates. It didn't even say that he so loved the world that he sent a baptistry. It says for God so loved the world that he sent a son. Now, all those things I talked about, those are great things, and those are evidence of a changed life, but they mean nothing without Christ. So what does it mean to actually accept Christ in your life? It means to believe that he is God. To recognize the brokenness of the sin in your life. And to know that he's the only person in this universe that can set you free. And then you have to actually accept the person of Jesus, not just the idea of Jesus, y'all. Because the idea of Jesus is nice. And it makes us feel good, but we walk into this parking lot and we forget all about it. It's the reality of who Jesus is in your life. Is he God of your life? Because there's only one love that God accepts, and that's the first love. Church, he won't share you. He wants all of you. And I'm going to close with this. I thought it was interesting when I read Paul's words. I get why people who are far from God don't have peace, but why would people who are near not have peace? And I think it's because there's some of us that we don't love them the way we think we do. And I can't think of a better day than right now. change that.
Thank you so much for taking time to listen to this week's sermon. It's our hope that this resource will grow you in your faith, hope, and love for Jesus. Please help us get the word out by following us on social media and sharing resources just like this. And if today's message has compelled you to take a next step in faith, please let us know by commenting on this post, sending us a direct message, or contacting us at the church office. We are praying and believing that God will change you in a powerful way this week through His Word. Blessings.